3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Brent and Blaine with you until 6 o'clock on 104.5 The Zone. Todd Furman with us now as we take a look at point spreads coming up this weekend. Todd, how are you?
I'm doing all right. And, guys, I know that everyone's ready to press the panic button regarding Vanderbilt football right now, but let's be honest. The state of affairs for the Commodores is much better than it may be for Roger Goodell in the NFL.
No doubt about that. And let's start there. Vanderbilt, a 17-point favorite over UMass at home?
Yeah, I know a lot of people want to try and press the panic button right now. You look at the Ole Miss game, and, of course, the offense was nothing to write home about last Saturday. But Ole Miss is going to make a lot of teams look bad on the offensive end. Of course, you go back to the season-opening loss to Temple. That one a little bit more problematic. UMass played their first two games at home against BC, was blown out in that game, and Colorado kind of limped to the finish against them there. This number says that UMass won't score, and I think Vanderbilt's defense actually clamps down on the Minutemen, but you won't see me walking to the window to bet Vanderbilt laying three scores, not at this point in the season.
So you would stay away from that one?
Yeah, this
three
is stay
scores
away
when they haven't scored one time yet.
Yeah,
this is a stay-away type game. If anything, I could make a case to go under 45.5 more so than bet a side.
Yeah, Vanderbilt's only scoring drive. A field goal after
a fumble recover, right?
Yeah, negative four yards on the drive, and then they kick a field goal. Georgia, South Carolina, Georgia by 6, opened at 2.5.
Yeah, this number opened a little bit short given what we've seen from these teams through only three games between them combined. However, during the summer, this game was a pick'em, and it's a question of if South Carolina is really as bad as they appeared versus Texas A&M, and is Georgia as good as they looked through that second half against Clemson. I'm not sure it's fair to write off South Carolina as dead just yet. Steve Spurrier has had an outstanding record against the spread when it comes to taking on Mark Richt. And South Carolina's actually thrived as an underdog going back to 2009, a home underdog at that. 4-0 against the spread, 3-1 straight up. And Spurrier actually 13-5 as a dog the last 18 times while being head coach of South Carolina.
Interesting. Kentucky at Florida, another 17.5-point spread.
It'll be interesting to see if Florida can duplicate the effort we saw offensively against Eastern Michigan. Clearly, Gator fans have a little to be optimistic about as the team appeared to take to Kurt Roper's offense. I know it's only Eastern Michigan, but they would have killed last year to see Florida score 65 in three games combined, let alone over the course of 60 minutes. Kentucky looked a lot more athletic from what I saw last week against Ohio. They just don't have the skill position players to keep up in this one. I think Florida can name the score here, but still a little bit reluctant to lay this kind of lumber with the Gators.
One more for me before I pass the ball. Western Kentucky and Middle Tennessee. It's the opening conference game for both teams, and Middle by 1 or a pick.
Yeah, this game, a real interesting contest between these two teams. Middle Tennessee State's game last week against Minnesota, the final, very misleading at 35-24. Found a way to get in the back door with under a minute to go. Western Kentucky, I mean, they had chances to take care of Illinois, just let a number of opportunities slip through their fingers. A high-powered offense, and I think Middle Tennessee State will be hard-pressed to keep up. The side not of that much interest, and while it's a conference game, I think looking to go over 65 seems a more manageable quest.
Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas, if you have a specific question about a specific game that maybe we don't hit on, hit him on Twitter, at Todd Furman.
Well, Todd, naturally, I got to ask some prop bets, and I'm going to ask every week about the Heisman top three, I guess. Has it changed any? Who's new, who's not, who's in and who's out? Tell me what you got there on the top three.
Kenny Hill continues to climb that ladder, although I still remain skeptical of his actual viability in the Heisman race. We'll get a much better indication, Blaine, of exactly where he's at as a quarterback when Texas A&M actually has to face defenses with a pulse. Todd Gurley has stayed up there as well by virtue of not playing last week. We'll get a much better idea of exactly what he's going to bring to the table in a showcase game against South Carolina. Bryce Petty's number has come down a little bit amid concerns about that back, but by all accounts, Art Briles believes he will be the starting quarterback. Jameis Winston has held steady. Marcus Mariota, though, his numbers have shrunk a little bit given that 28-point surge late in the game against Michigan State to really make a statement and announce Oregon's, not only his Heisman campaign, but also their quest to win a national championship.
All right, week two is over with, I guess. So where are your top four for the playoff in NCAA football?
If I'm going just off power rating, and this isn't schedule or anything else, for me, Florida State, until they're beaten, remains number one. Georgia, the second-best team that I have seen so far, although I still put them on upset alert this week. Oregon checks in at number three, and I have Auburn as the fourth best team in the country, although they'll get a bit of a test not a week from tomorrow when they have to head to Manhattan to take on Kansas State.
And that's where we have the FedEx. I know you've done a little bit of golfing, right?
I haven't actually been on the course all that much this summer. It's been too hot for me.
Oh,
I can't quite handle
it.
You know? So My game and my 47 handicap isn't exactly what I wished it to be.
Wait, but, I'm at 49.
But if you're looking at it from a betting perspective, you go through the FedEx Cup and the odds right now. Adam Scott at 15-1. He's really fallen off. Rory McIlroy, of course, the favorite at 7-4. A real short number there. Bubba Watson checks in at 8-1. Billy Horschel's moved up that leaderboard at 7-1. And given the uncertainty in golf, you're seeing the field listed at 5-1.
All right, naturally, I want to talk about the Dallas at Tennessee. Do we have a shot of winning this game?
Well, the oddsmakers believe you have a shot. Installed as a 4-point favorite for this one.
Uh-oh.
It was very high on the Titans last week, but I think this will actually be a much more difficult test. Kansas City was their own worst enemy, offensively anemic for extended stretches. But you have to like the poise that Jake Locker displayed, and that may be the direct impact from Ken Whisenhunt. But I think Dallas was also the better team against San Francisco, and a little bit surprised to see this number climbing upwards of 3.5, 4. I think Dallas is a very live underdog, just too much offensive firepower. Titans win this game, we can start talking about much bigger things ahead for them.
All right, well, you talked about Kansas City real quick. Kansas City plays at Denver, so I'd like to see how they rebound after losing a couple great players on defensive side of the ball. Do they rebound? And they played Denver tough twice last year, what do you think?
Yeah, this is a bit of an inflated number. Before this season, you were talking about Denver in this spot as a 10.5-point favorite. Of course, oddsmakers forced to respond to what we saw from Kansas City. The Chiefs, for me, are one of the five worst teams in the NFL, in all honesty. I think you look at their defensive personnel, just a ton of losses there. Very few playmakers on the offensive side, aside from Jamal Charles and Dwayne Bowe, who wasn't there. But Denver in a bit of a flat spot, and when you're laying this kind of lumber in a huge divisional game for two teams that have no love for one another, don't be surprised if Kansas City looks a lot better in covering, but I don't think they're going into the Mile High City and pulling off the win.
Good stuff, Todd. Let's go back to the college game, Tennessee at Oklahoma.
This number, you're looking at an Oklahoma team who's looked dominant through their first two games of the season against Louisiana Tech and last week dispatching of in-state rival Tulsa. Still, the questions remain about how good Oklahoma can really be. You have to force Trevor Knight to be a bit one-dimensional. But this will be a great litmus test for Tennessee. I think this is a perfect opportunity for them as a live underdog to go into Norman, really put their feet to the fire. Don't expect them to win, but this number a bit inflated. I know, Brent, we traded Tex over the weekend. I made this number 16.5, so do see some value in the Vols.
Arkansas at Texas Tech, another interesting matchup.
Well, Texas Tech last season, over the last five regular season games, could not stop anyone, had a pulse on the ground. Lo and behold, Arkansas goes into Lubbock, and I think they'll be able to dominate the trenches on the offensive side. Should be able to average at least 5 to 6 yards a carry. Tech, pretty pedestrian in their first two games, struggled to get through Central Arkansas, struggled against UTEP. That's the one fear, though, that they're a little bit undervalued here. I would lean towards Arkansas, but only if I could get a field goal in my back pocket.
And Central Florida, Missouri, another single-digit line there.
Central Florida, 2 weeks to try and lick their wounds from the game that got away across the pond in Ireland. Missouri looked like world beaters last week against Toledo, despite some pretty strong support from the professionals that drove that number from 6.5 down to 3.5. I think Central defensively will pose some problems for Missouri, but Missouri probably too much firepower. In my opinion, the best bet to make on this game is looking to go under the total at 54.5. It's the only shot the Golden Knights have to keep this game competitive.
One more NFL game that I'm intrigued by. I'm intrigued by them all, but I'm a football nut. Philadelphia at Indy on Monday night.
It should be a great game between these two teams. Indy, all the talk, obviously, without Andrew Luck. Indy, probably one of the worst teams in the league with overall talent. Dealt a tough blow losing Mathis for the season, although he was suspended for the first four games. Anyways, Philadelphia, though, is without four of their top seven offensive linemen. I think that becomes the biggest difference here. I look for Andrew Luck to make enough big plays in the passing game. I think Indy gets a key stop when they need it most, and I like Indy to win this game by a touchdown.
Just curious, where do you have the Titans in your power rankings?
Titans right now are not in that bottom third, okay. But they're right now in that 20 to 23 range. It really is a log jam there. I'm interested to see how the defense looks this week against a much more potent offense in Dallas, and want to continue to monitor Jake Locker's development. I was a little bit surprised how much Dexter McCluster was used in the running game. Really believe we're going to see a steady dose of Bishop Sankey the deeper we get into the season.
Thank you, Todd. Great stuff, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.